Welcome back to Joie de Vivre,
a Wo-Fi DIY short form Sacramento Kings podcast. We're back, episode 143, from a new location in Ridgewood, Queens. I'm your producer, Mike Cardarelli, and from Bushwick, Brooklyn, it's your host, talent evaluator, Dave Neuschatz.
Hey, what's up, Mike? What's up, JDV Nation?
What's going on?
Not a lot, you know. I'm free from the shackles of the King's disease. We're talking bipedal, strutting my stuff all throughout, you know, spring has sprung in New York City. So, you know, the sun's out, perfect day.
Oh, yeah. Everything's blooming out there. I just moved. Great to be on the other side of that. We're recording on Easter. This will come out probably on Monday because we're going to a comedy show right after this. So we won't know who won the Jazz game tonight, but you will. Hopefully it's a win.
Really hoping it's a win tonight. We could really use one.
All right, let's get into it, Dave. Kings are currently 42-31, two games worse than last year at this time. Down to the eighth seed, two games behind the Mavs for sixth. And if the season ended today, they would play at the Suns in the play-in game with the Lakers and Warriors as the other play-in matchup. But the Rockets are closing fast.
The Rockets are closing fast. But I was looking at the schedule, and I'm like, I don't know if they can do two games better than the Warriors in the last. They have to beat the Warriors, basically.
Oh, they don't have the tiebreaker. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, it looks like the play-in is going to be happening for the Kings, unfortunately. You know, they had a good stretch after the last time we recorded, and then these two home game losses to the Mavs and some injury issues that we'll talk about. Like, things are feeling pretty down right now, right?
Oh, yeah. Bleaker than Bleecker Street, baby. Yeah, it's at least we're going to hit I think we're still going to hit the over on the win total preseason.
Yeah, that was only 44.5. So the Kings just need to go 3-6 to finish up. But they got to go.
I think we will. I think we will go exactly 3-6. We might be able to make, if like by some miracle, we beat either the Suns is kind of like maybe the fourth win, but I mean, we're playing the Blazers, Jazz, and Nets, and like really, I feel like we're just gonna get stomped by
tough schedule. Yeah, 6-3 is what they'll need to match last year. Yeah, not looking good. Let's start with the positives though. Like before the Dallas games, they were doing really well. I think they were on like a 6-3 run. After our last episode, they blew out Milwaukee. They beat the Lakers yet again. They had a surprising win in Orlando. Like, what was the high point for you?
You know, we had like a few high points. This has been such like a roller coaster. It's like beating the best, losing to the worst. This whole second half of the season has been crazy. It feels like beating Orlando maybe because we had just lost fucking Wizards.
Yeah.
The Washington Basketball Organization.
Oh, man.
I think that would be a better name for Washington. Just go Washington Basketball or
just copy the football. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like do that for a year and then like really rethink their branding. It's like you're not the Wizards, you're the Bullets, but you can't do the Bullets. So it's just like, what the hell? But that Orlando win, because it felt real, you know, it felt real again, but it just, this whole season feels like a desert mirage where it's like eliteness is just on the horizon constantly. And like, we just keep pulling the rug on ourselves or stepping on a goddamn rake and breaking our nose for the 10th time. And I mean, crushing Milwaukee was cool, but
won by 35. Yeah. And Giannis and Lillard played. Like, it wasn't like they sat.
Yeah, but then, like, we won against Memphis, scraped by
overtime
against Memphis. And it's like, what the hell are we doing? It's like, I mean, it felt good, but it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's hard to be positive. Even in this segment where we're trying to be positive, it's like the last two games have been brutal. So, like, the low point, I had some candidates here, like, they were held to 91 points at home versus the Knicks. Of course, that Wizards game was kind of inexplicable to lose to that team. But, I mean, it's got to be Friday night to Dallas, right? I mean, like, biggest game of the season, you're at home. The play-in spot, you know, or the sixth seed is kind of on the line, and they just didn't come through.
Yeah. I mean, Tuesday, too. It's like, we had our rivals at home, back-to-back games, got completely stomped, and then had our heart torn out multiple times. I mean, it was just not passing the vibe check. It's like the pretender and contender test. It's like, could we? And it's like, no, we couldn't. Stars were stars. The hesitancy of Fox and Sabonis in those last 5 minutes was, they were deer in headlights. Sabonis reverts back to, like, he can't even shoot an open push shot from like 10 feet or something. He just becomes frozen. Like there's some like memory in the deep recesses of his brain that like something, like he choked. Fox missed a wide open one, and
And they didn't have Malik Monk. And that maybe would have made the difference in Friday night's game, but he was already out injured. So let's talk about that in a separate segment. I think before the season, we were saying there was a lot of talk about how healthy the Kings were last year and could they keep it up. And I think they had done pretty well, and it's all kind of falling apart now. Herder got injured on a Desmond Bane foul in that Memphis game. He has had season-ending left shoulder surgery. He had a torn labrum. That was an ugly injury. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Replay?
Yeah, I saw it on the replay. That's
Bane's strength really coming through there. I mean, he wrecked his arm.
He's built. He's just like, he's a bowling ball.
Yeah, I felt bad for Herder.
The Herder injury almost felt like addition by subtraction. I was like, maybe we need him to not be playing.
Keon is playing well, and they can give more minutes to Monk. But then last night, it's like, well, it doesn't feel like addition by subtraction if Monk is also out. So Monk got a sprained MCL. Like, Doncic kind of fell on him. He's supposed to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Doncic just, like, stumbled into him, just, like, lumbering and just fell on him. It was, God, that was brutal.
I hope it doesn't cost him six man, but
I think it will. I just think just narrative wise, I know it's like there's only 9 games left, but it's like, yeah.
I mean, here's the depressing part is, do you think that was his last game for the Kings?
Dude, I don't know. He played not good against the Magic, so maybe that was maybe they won't pay him.
I know. I heard Magic fan Steve Cerruti eyeing Malik Monk this week. So, I mean, they do have money. They do have salary cap. But, yeah, maybe that game wasn't timed very well for him.
Honestly, not a lot of people were talking about this. He was shooting, like, less, just under 20% from three the last 10 games before the injury. It's like he
had that. Was it the Magic game, the 0-for?
Yeah.
Where he was, like, 0-for-11 or something?
And like his best game was against the Bullets or whatever, the Washington basketball organization.
Washington basketball team.
Yeah. I mean, that might be, I mean, honestly, it probably is. Cause like,
he's going to get $100 million from somebody, I think.
Yeah. I mean, maybe all the crypto mining we've been doing at Golden One, maybe Vivek doesn't care about paying an exorbitant luxury tax because he's a billionaire. Like, I don't understand these, like, insanely rich people and be like, oh, I don't know about the margins. It's like, you have so much money. Like, why would you care? If, like, you obviously have a huge ego and you want to win. Just, like, pay the money, take the tax. It's, like, nothing to you. But maybe it's a fact that all these people are probably charlatans and all their money is, like, imaginary because of all their investments. And it's like, oh, maybe you're not liquid. You're just billionaires on paper.
I thought you were going to say pay him the max they can, which is, I think, like $17 million, and then give him the rest in off-the-books crypto payments, you know, give him the rest in Bitcoin. But
yeah. I mean, there's that. Maybe we could get Spencer Dinwiddie to consult on that crypto fan.
Yeah.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Okay, then there were two other injuries. Monk was the latest one, but Lyles has been out for a while. He also had an MCL versus the Bucks way back on March 12th. And Vezinkov is still out since early February with an ankle injury. Now, they're saying Lyles and Vezinkov should be back soon. but
dude, I just checked. They're questionable for Utah tonight. So maybe if not tonight, tomorrow.
So there's some minutes, right? I mean, like, but who else do you think should get more time now that Herter and Monk are out for a while?
Ellis and Mitchell are prime candidates. I just say let Sasha Vezenkov and Lyles shoot 10 times a game. See what happens. Just chuck. It's like at this point, it's like chuck. I think our defense gets better. So maybe there's a chance because, like, you know, I mean, Monk was I wouldn't say a terrible defender, but, and he was game and wily, but Keon Ellis has got great size and good instincts, and Davion has T-Rex arms even for someone 6 feet, but maybe, but yeah, Vezenkov and Lyles, we should, hopefully they'll get like 15 to 20 minutes a game, and we just need to shoot like 53s. that's honestly like, it's bare hands. It's like we got enough guys shooting over 35% from three.
Yeah.
Just do it.
The other one I would say is like good time for Keegan Murray to maybe get a higher usage rate. He doesn't get a ton of shots, but maybe it's time for him. End of his second season.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to Friday. The end of that game deserves its own segment. Got another content warning for Kings fans. We're going to talk about Luka Doncic. Skip ahead 2 minutes. If you can't handle that, we know it's a sensitive topic amongst this fan base. All right, so you want to describe what happened at the end of the Friday game?
Oh, a Luka Doncic who'd been hobbling most of the game with the sore Achilles that didn't get any better after Tuesday's game.
He was also bleeding.
Actively bleeding.
Yeah.
And only got, like, pulled out of the game once. It's like, I can see blood on it. Like, why isn't he, whatever, the selective rules. It's like, Kurt Schilling bloody sock. It's like, it's still
bloody knee pad game.
I know. I was thinking of it the whole time. He hit some really clutch threes. He was kind of unguardable. And his gravity was pulling people towards him and away from Kyrie, who also torched us. But at the end of the game, he gave a nice wave, multiple waves to Vlade Divac, who was sitting courtside in I want to say checkers play from Vivek Radadive. If anyone needs motivation to win one single game, it's having the guy that didn't draft him courtside.
It's the opposite of psyching someone out. It's unreal. Yeah,
we psyched him up. So like Like, why is Vlade around? It's like, of course this came back to bite us in the ass. Like,
but it's like, no offense to no offense to Sacramento. It's a great part of the world. Vlade's rich and retired. He could be anywhere. It's like he played for the Lakers too. He could be in Europe. He could be living anywhere on earth. He has the money. Why is he sitting courtside at this team's games? It drives me crazy. I know he's a team legend, but like, there's so many team legends who don't do that.
Yeah.
And there's so much baggage with his GM reign. I'm sorry. It does affect what you did as a player. It does.
Yeah, it does. It tarnished his legacy for me. But yeah, and then, you know, Lucas just starts saying he should have drafted me. It's like, yeah, he should have drafted. Yeah.
He said it over and over again. If you watch the clip, he just keeps saying he should have drafted me as he's like leaving the court after they won.
Yeah. Brutal. Just totally boneheaded mistake. That's the joie de Vivek of it all. You know, that's the joy. That's the joy of Vivek.
You know what this nullifies, though, is like after the Bagley pick was made, there was a lot of coping going on among some Kings fans. We would get them in our comments, our podcast reviews, where people were mad that we were not supporting Bagley enough or whatever. And we would see it in like Reddit comments and stuff where it's like, well, Luka refused to come to Sacramento. He didn't work out. He didn't want to come here. So that's why we couldn't draft him. And it's like, when he's saying that to Vlade, it's clear that that is completely made up. That is just people trying to make sense of this mistake and like coming up with a greater narrative that just wasn't here, because he's clearly got a chip on his shoulder about not going three, you know?
Two.
Right. Not going two. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely brutal. To quote the Vlad father, better fit, better player.
All right, let's go to final thoughts. Here's a segue. Better fit, better player. He was talking about Marvin Bagley, who has been chasing history this season. And this is kind of perfect, unfortunately. Great screenwriting here by the NBA. The Kings' loss to Washington means Marvin Bagley will not be able to catch the 2011-2012 Charlotte Bobcats for worst season in NBA history. Charlotte went 7-59 in a lockout shortened season. The Kings' loss to the Wizards gave Bagley 8 wins for the season. And then they won 2 more after that. So there's no way he's going to be able, even if they lose out, he's still going to have too good of a record. We were so close. So disappointing. I can't believe the Kings are the ones that pushed him over the top.
I know. We dashed our own hopes again.
God. I don't know what else to say. Hopefully this is the last time we talk about Marvin Bagley for a while.
I agree.
JDV is the DIY project. If you want to support the show, rate and review the podcast. What do you got, Dave?
You know, I was talking about like a winning recipe for us, shooting 53s a game and just blitzing like other defenses. You know, we got to move the ball, chuck. And I think another winning recipe would be from one of Toby Keith's best friends and former Sacramento King and all-time name Haber, Wayman Tisdale, from the Kings 1994-95 recipe book.
It's the Gary St. Jean cookbook.
Yeah, the Gary St. Jean cookbook. So we got Tizzy's high scoring orange ruffy, which is a perch.
Good timing with Good Friday a couple days ago.
Get a 9x13-inch pan, and in a separate pan, get some breadcrumbs, some cheese, some basil, some oregano, salt and garlic powder, and dip some perch in melted butter and then dredge it in the crumb mixture. Then you arrange the coated fish in a pan, sprinkle it with a little white wine, maybe a nice Colorado. It's got it's bright, acidic, and minerally, thanks to the volcanic southern Italy soil. I think that would be perfect. And then, like, get hit it with a little lemon juice, sprinkle some mushrooms and some chopped up almonds on top, throw it in the oven for 350, cover it for 25 minutes, and there you go. Fish on Friday or Sunday, depending on, you know, if you're cat lick or dog lick.
I'm surprised he's such a good cook. This is the most complicated recipe you've read from this cookbook so far. Last time we had hot dog soup. So this is very elevated. Wayman, I'm impressed.
And turnover-proof corn chowder.
But Wayman is he's a cultured man, right? He was like a musician too.
Yeah, you know, like he would jam out, you know. And I'm almost positive somewhere deep in the digital records of Toby Keith recordings, there's a duet between he and Wayman on some 8-bit remix Lithuanian free jazz.